Good morning and welcome back once again to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now, before we turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds, we'd like to remind you about our website. That website address is www.independencebaptist.org. And from there, you're going to be able to listen to all of our prior radio broadcasts. Now, the broadcasts for some time now have been about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. So if you have missed any of those, or maybe you just want to share them with some friends, or if you want to go back and listen to some yourself, the website is the perfect option for you. For example, last week we talked about Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, where the Bible states, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." Now, that one may not be exactly what you think it is, so be sure and download it if you missed it last week. Now, for this morning, Pastor Reynolds will be preaching out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, and the title of the message is, "Some Things We Are Not to Give Away."
This morning, we'd like to continue in the messages we've been preaching for the past few Sunday mornings concerning the Sermon on the Mount. This morning, we want to preach about what Jesus said not to give away. That's Matthew 7, verse number 6. Jesus preached, "Some things we are not to give away." The Bible says in Matthew 7 and verse number 6, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." First of all, notice where Jesus placed verse number 6. Verse number 6 is just one sentence. It's given immediately after verses 1 through 5, which state this, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Or with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, 'Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye,' and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." The meaning in this passage is that there are some very small problems others have that we can't fix because of the great big thing that is wrong with us. If we will first take care of our own problems, then we can help others that have small problems. Christ is teaching here that if we don't fix our own problems before we attempt to help others, we are being a hypocrite, actually doing more damage than we should. Now, I know that every situation is different, so different that every individual must seek for God's help, not our help. Understand that so. Every situation is different. Every situation is so different that every individual must seek God's help, not ours. You see, sometimes we think we can easily fix the problems of others. And if we were facing the exact same problem, we could. But we do not have the same background as others. And they do not have our backgrounds. We do not think as they think. And we don't think as they think. People are different. So our solution will not work in their case, just as their solution will not work in our case. We can help others, but we must consider that every person must face what is in front of them. And every person and every case is different. The simple truth is, we can't fix every problem by interjecting our thoughts or our ways into the situation. Verse 6, as we stated, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you," is a very simple warning. It is a warning that all true believers have. This simple sentence is given immediately before verse number 7 and verse number 8, which states, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened." These verses mean that there are some things we can only fix by turning them over to God and His everlasting grace. What Christ is teaching is that we are all the servants of Christ and He is the Master. Christ is who we are supposed to be serving or obeying. Christ is the only one that can answer our personal prayer request, and He can really do it. It is our place to ask God for the particular help we need. It is our place to seek for the answer to our prayers, and it is our responsibility to knock, trusting in God to open the right doors for us. There are many things we don't understand, but it is our place to rest in the fact that God will answer our prayers when we actively ask, seek, and knock. But back in verse number 6, Christ did not say that it was wrong to give things to dogs, only that it was wrong to give holy things to God or to cast our pearls before swine. Read Matthew 7, verse number 6 again. This verse states, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." Notice, the holy things belong to God, and the pearls belong to us. Both the dogs and the swine will trample them underfoot and attempt to destroy us when we give them spiritual help. Dogs and swine represent lost people. These are lost people who simply do not want to serve God. Philippians 3 in verse number 2 states, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the coccygian." Paul, here in this place, is telling the Philippian brethren to beware of dogs, to beware of evildoers, and the coccygian. We can understand who the dogs represent. These are not physical dogs, of course. These are rather those that have the characteristics of animals or brute beasts. We can also understand that evil workers speak of those that are against the things of God. But we may not understand what the word coccygian means. Listen, Christ is here telling the Jews He is preaching to that they ought to beware of the false circumcision practiced in that day. You see, circumcision had, in the days of Christ, already lost its spiritual significance. And it had become, to the Jews, who rested on it as any ground of justification, a senseless mutilation. Christians have the only true circumcision, namely that of the heart. And it is what Christ is speaking of. He wants His people to understand this very vital truth. Circumcision of the heart involves not paying real attention to the world while still living in the world. People that are trusting in what they do to be justified before God have only coccygian, that is, the cutting off of the flesh. You see the difference in circumcision and coccygian? Because Christ wants His real followers to beware of the coccygian, that is, to beware of people that just do what appears to be right, but they themselves are actually wrong. God is much more interested in who you are than in what your body does. He is interested in what you pay attention to, which should be Christ, than with who is paying attention to you. Let me repeat this very important point. Christ is much more interested in who you are paying attention to, which should be Christ and what He wants you to do, than with who is paying attention to you. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 22 states this, "But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." You know, a long time ago, I tried to determine if 2 Peter was referring to the saved or to the lost. I finally figured out that I was wrong to try to figure that out. You see, there are two groups. Only it is very difficult for me to try to figure out which group we will fit in. Why is that? Sometimes dogs turn from eating their own vomit and swine can be washed clean. But their nature is still exactly the same. And as soon as they can, they return to their nature. Some may clean up their act for a while, but soon they return to their former lifestyle. Listen to what Revelation 22:15 states when it speaks about the eternal age. The Bible says here, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." You see, there is a vast difference. Show that the Old Testament is exactly like the New Testament. We want to look at four proverbs of the Old Testament. And in these Old Testament proverbs, we'll see the New Testament characteristics. First is in Proverbs 9 and verse 6 through 9. The Bible said here, "Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. And he that rebuketh a wise man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." An example of Proverbs 9, verse 6 through 9, is given to us with Aquila and Priscilla in Acts 18, verse 24 through 28. This couple followed the teachings of Proverbs 9, verse 6 through 9 exactly. There is no doubt that Aquila and Priscilla saw many people, but they only took in one, whose name was Apollos. Aquila and Priscilla wisely did not take everybody under their wing, but they took Apollos and taught him, and he increased in knowledge. And Apollos went on to become a great helper in the gospel. The Apostle Paul also did this. There were people present who would not hear or see the truth, even though that truth was plainly shown to them. Notice carefully that Paul did not try to convince them of the everlasting truth. Instead, he simply did not speak to them again about that. Secondly, in Proverbs 16, verse 22, the Bible said, "Understanding is a wellspring of life unto them that hate it, but the instruction of fools is folly." It is senseless. It is useless to try to instruct a fool, for they will not hear. Their mind is already made up. We need to leave them alone. Number three is in Proverbs 23 and verse number 9. "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." The Lord instructs us not to speak the wisdom of the Lord to a fool. Why? The Bible says they will not listen because they have already decided against God and his eternal word. Number four is in Proverbs 26, verse 4 and verse 5. "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." Then the Bible said in verse number 5, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." The difference in these two verses is very clear. We are not to be as a fool when confronting a fool. We will be counted a fool by those that stand by and judge us. We are right before God when we answer a fool according to his own folly. But let's go back to our text. Matthew 7, verse number 6 states this, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." This is exactly what we've been preaching to you about. In Proverbs, in all these places that we've talked about, there are some who simply will not have anything at all to do with the things of God. There's nothing you can do or have done to make them see the truth you see. If you think these people are special, or if God has given you a desire to see them saved, then you must learn to wait on Him to reveal his everlasting truth to them. Notice, in the book of Matthew 7, verse number 6, the Bible said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine." These are your pearls, not pearls belonging to someone else. Each person must be very careful what he does with that which God has given to him. The pearl is his own. The pearl does not belong to somebody else. Every saved person is accountable to God and to God alone, not to those he would help, because that which he gives to another is added, not given away. Notice, there is no contradiction here in Matthew 7, verse number 6. Stephen preached to unbelievers who killed him, but there was a young man holding the garments of those that killed him, and his name was Saul, of course. Here was one God foreordained to preach the gospel and to write the biggest part of the New Testament. Acts 9, verse 1 through 31 tells of the graciousness of God upon Saul, who will later be called Paul, and how God used him to bring many to Christ. Acts 14, in verse number 19, states, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch to Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead." These unbelievers heard Paul, but they did not believe what he said. They didn't like what he said. Actually, they even stoned him to death, they thought. They brought him out of the city, and supposing him to be dead. But he was not dead. Paul rose up and went into the city, and there preached the everlasting gospel to all who would hear him. The difficulty we have today is determining who is a dog or who is a swine, or if they are an acceptable person. You see, we must take the gospel to the world, as Matthew 28, 18 through 20 states. We must admit we are incapable of taking God's precious word anywhere to anybody. We must completely rely upon Christ and take the gospel message to whomsoever he lays on our heart. The message belongs to the Lord. We are his messengers. We must take that message, the saving gospel message, to all that God lays upon our heart. There is a determination spoken of in this verse. We must determine who is holy and who is a swine. Why else would Christ have stated the verse the way he did? God forces us to consider the good and the bad of every person, regardless of our personal feelings toward them or their station in life as compared to ours. We must see their assaults upon us, whether we love them or not, or we will be as Lot, who followed the lost for material gain. Notice in this verse the determination of those against God. They turn and rend us. They don't rend God. That's what the Bible said in Matthew 7, verse 6, "Lest they trample them under the feet and turn again and rend you." You see, these people cannot reach God. And God has left us in a very fragile place. We have the eternal protection of God. That is absolutely true. They cannot reach God. And God has left us in this very fragile place with his eternal protection, that we might be able to reach those that belong to him and reject those that do not belong to him. God could have taken us out of this world. Thus, we would not have to deal with these matters, but instead of taking us out now, he gives us strength and power to overcome. Thus, we gain his strength. Notice the viciousness of those with whom we have to deal. Dogs and swine trample the pearls of God that has so graciously been given unto us. They trample these under their own feet. Then they turn again and rend you. It is not that they simply don't pay us any attention anymore. Their disagreement is evident in their turning again to rend us. Now, look in the book of Acts 13, the verse 42 through verse 52. Notice in this place that there are two groups of people. those that accept the word of God, and those that refuse to accept it. In Acts 13, verse 42 through 44, gives us the first of two groups. And when the Jews were going out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that this word might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. At this point, everything seems fine, doesn't it? There are those that want to hear the gospel message, almost the whole city. That is really good, is it not? But Acts 13, verse 45 through 52, continues with the second group. There are always those that listen, that want more of the word of God. But there are also those that don't want to hear the word of God, because it brings conviction of sin. These are the people that will turn again and rend the person that brings the message of God. Acts 13, verse 45 states, "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." You see, verse 45, the Bible states here that the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Well, why were they filled with envy? It's because, as they saw it, the multitude began to follow the newcomer Paul and his message and rejected their message. And they could not answer the great arguments presented by Paul, although they did try. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. The Bible said in verses 46 and 47, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the end of the earth." You see, Paul saw, through the rejection of the plain word of God, that the commandment of God to him, that he was to be a light to the Gentiles, to cause the Gentiles to see the word of God, was what God wanted him to do. The result of Paul's statement is seen in Acts 13, verse 48 through 49. "And when the Gentiles heard it, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout the region." So the word of God increased, and the Gentiles that heard the word published the blessed gospel of Christ throughout the entire region. So the gospel was going out, but that didn't end the conflict of the unbelieving Jews. The next two verses state this: "But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. But they," Paul and Barnabas, "shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." These verses tell us the rest of the story. Either be filled with joy or be filled with hate. The choice is yours. What will you do? Either you will see your sin and what Christ has done to eliminate it, or you will not see your sin and you will be mad at the giver of the good news. You will fit into one of these two categories of people. This is the way it is. But read just one more scripture. Acts 17, 32 through verse 34 states, "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him, and believed, among the which was Diophantus the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them." A determination must be made. What will we do? There are three groups mentioned in these three verses. Those that mock, those that said, We will hear thee again, and those that hear and believe. The first group, those that mock, are those that are of the dog and the swine. The third group, those that believe to eternal life, is the group we all think that we are in. The second group are those that want to consider again. It is likely that some of the second group belong to group 1 and some belong to group 3. Time will tell. If they really believe in Christ, fully trusting in His own shed blood, then they are saved eternally. But if they reject Christ, then they are doomed for all eternity. The Bible states in Matthew 7 and verse number 6, sometimes unbelievers trample the holy things of God under the feet. Sometimes unbelievers trample under their feet our pearls, those precious things that we have. But we must do as God determines for us to do. This is what Jesus Christ is preaching on the Sermon on the Mount to those people that listen to Him. Do you know why we must submit only to whatever God determines? It's because God is God, and we are His servants. God is the one in charge. I'm not in charge, and you are not in charge. God, our eternal Savior, is in total, absolute, total control. Unbelievers will trample underfoot the very words which will save their unworthy soul from a devil's hell. Today, don't trample underfoot the gospel of your own salvation, but trust in Jesus Christ. Yield yourself to His eternal will. He knows what is best for you. If you are saved today, then yield to Christ and His eternal will for your life. Christ will take care of everything in front of you. This is what God wants you to do. This is what God wants me to do. He is in charge. Christ is in charge. We must yield ourselves to Him and not be trying to force our will on anybody. Christ wants us to be the kind of people that He wants us to be. He wants us to be a witness. He wants us to be right in His sight. Today, this is our prayer, that we might ever be mindful of how great that God is, and that we ought to rely upon Him and Him alone. May God help us as we live in our life, that we might ever be the kind of witness that He wants us to be, that we might ever be faithful unto Him, that we might be true to Him and do what He wants us to do. When Jesus Christ gave this part of the Sermon on the Mount, the people that were listening to Him were actually overjoyed with the things that He said. The people were astonished at His doctrine. The things that Jesus Christ said was very good for them. They needed to hear the truth of the Word of God, just as today we need to hear what God is saying to us. Don't ever be deceived, but follow only what Jesus Christ wants you to follow in your life. If you're seeking for the Lord, He will be found of you. That is His promise that He's given to you. He says unto you, trust me, try me, and prove me, and just see for yourself the great things that God has for you.
Well, thank you, Pastor Reynolds, for bringing another message from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Now, before the message this morning, I stated that our prior radio broadcasts are all available on our website. So again, I'd like to remind you that if you've missed any of this series on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, if you want to share them with somebody, or if you just want to go back and listen to them again, just go to our website at independencebaptist.org and check out the audio section of that website. From there, you're going to be able to listen to any of those prior messages on this Sermon on the Mount. Now, as we come down to the end of the broadcast, we do want to once again invite you to attend services with us. We'll be meeting this morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship services, 3:45 prayer meeting, and 4:30 worship services. Our building is located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri, and we look forward to seeing you there. Now, we do want to thank you for listening this morning and look forward to being with you again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.